Thank you for standing by. This is the conference operator. Welcome to the SMU third quarter 2018 earnings conference call and webcast. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To join the question queue, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. Should you need assistance during the conference call, you may signal an operator by pressing star and zero. I would now like to turn the conference over to Carolyn McKenzie, Head of Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us today. I am here with Arturo Silva, our CFO. I will briefly describe SMU's results for the first 9 months and third quarter of 2018, and then Arturo will be happy to take your questions. If anyone isn't using the webcast to follow the slides, we'll be going through the presentation that I sent out to the distribution list this morning. It is also available in the Investor Relations section of our website, www.smu.cl, in the Financial Information section. An audio recording of this call will be available on our website later today. Also, please note that we may be making forward-looking statements today, so just a reminder to please take a look at the caution regarding forward-looking statements on slide number 2 of our presentation. As a final administrative note, this quarter we once again presented discontinued operations for the construction materials business that we sold earlier this year. That will be the case all year because although the sale was completed in April, we still need to present Construmart's contribution to the first 4 months of the year. There's a full description on slide number 3, but to summarize, all of the 2017 and 2018 numbers in our financial statements are comparable, but you have to be careful with periods before that. In the case of today's presentation, all of the P&L numbers are comparable because for the periods before 2017, we are using revenue, OPEX, and EBITDA for the food retail segment only. And in 2017 and 2018, we only have the food retail segment. If you have any questions about this, please feel free to get in touch. We'll start with slide number 4, where we have revenue for the food retail segment, which increased by 2.2% in the first 9 months of this year, and by 1.5% in the third quarter. Gross margin increased from 28.2% in the first 9 months of last year to 28.5% in the first 9 months of this year. And we had an increase of 80 basis points in the third quarter, from 27.8% to 28.6%. This is a big jump, but we do think it's important to note that the 28.6% gross margin for the third quarter of 2018 is very much in line with the gross margin we've had for the rest of this year. And the real difference is that the gross margin for the third quarter of last year was well below the gross margin for the other quarters of 2017. So, yes, it was a big jump, but it was a big jump considering a low comparison base. On the next slide, we have a breakdown of revenue growth by format, comparing the first 9 months of 2017 to the first 9 months of 2018, where we're continuing to see similar trends as in the first half of this year. Unimark supermarkets account for 70% of our revenue, so most of the growth came from that format. We continue to see strong performance from Mayorista 10 in the cash and carry segment, with 4.9% growth in the year to September. Peru has also had strong performance this year, although these numbers are in Chilean pesos, so it isn't that clear from the graph. In local currency, Peru's sales have grown 7.3% in the first 9 months of the year and 10.2% in the third quarter. The only format with lower revenue year over year is Telemercados, and this format accounts for less than 1% of our total sales. On slide 6, we have our same-store sales and sales per square meter performance. We had overall same-store sales growth of 2.7% in the first 9 months and 1.8% in the third quarter. By format, once again, the strongest performers are cash and carry and Peru. Sales per square meter continue to grow, reaching an average across all food retail formats in both Chile and Peru of 312,000 pesos per month for the first 9 months of 2018, which is 3.8% higher than in 2017. On slide number 7, we have operating expenses defined as distribution costs plus administrative expenses, excluding depreciation and amortization. OPEX as a percentage of revenue decreased slightly, 10 basis points, in the first 9 months of the year, and increased slightly, also 10 basis points, in the third quarter. In both cases, administrative expenses as a percentage of revenue decreased, due in part to a reduction in personnel expenses, which account for around half of our OPEX. Here we're seeing the savings from the restructuring program we carried out in January. Distribution costs as a percentage of revenue increased by about 10 basis points in both periods, as we have increased our rate of centralized distribution, and we also saw higher oil prices this year. On slide 8, we have our EBITDA, which grew 10.1% in the first 9 months of the year and 14.5% in the quarter. We also gained 40 basis points of EBITDA margin in the 9 month period, very much in line with the EBITDA margin expansions we've seen in the first half of the year. In the third quarter, the margin expansion is more significant, 80 basis points from 6.1% to 6.9%, as a result of the exceptional increase in gross margin due to the lower comparison base. This year, we've had some significant movements in our non-operating results. So on slide 9, we added a graph to help visualize these effects. This graph compares the non-operating loss of 55 billion pesos for the first 9 months of 2017 to the non-operating loss of 68 billion pesos for the first 9 months of 2018. The higher loss in 2018 is essentially due to two non-recurring effects. One is the restructuring program we carried out in January, which had associated costs of approximately 8 billion pesos, but which is generating savings in personnel expenses that will more than make up for these costs. The other is the non-recurring financial expenses, associated with the prepayment of our international bond during the first half of this year, approximately 12 billion pesos. However, our recurring financial expenses, excluding these 12 billion pesos, decreased significantly. This is easier to see in the third quarter when there are no extraordinary items and our financial expenses decreased over 40% year over year. In the quarter, we had financial expenses of a little over 10 billion pesos, and this amount is much more representative of our financial expenses going forward. Here we can see the benefits of the significant improvements to our capital structure over the last 2 years. Our non-operating results are also affected by inflation, as a significant portion of our financial liabilities are inflation indexed. Inflation has been higher in 2018, and we also have a higher base of inflation index liabilities as we have refinanced debt through local inflation index bonds. On the next slide, we have net income, which more than doubled in both the 9 months and the quarter. We've already talked about operating and non-operating results. The other extraordinary effect here in the 9 month period is from taxes. The sale of Constermart during the second quarter generated a deferred tax asset, which is reflected as a gain in our income taxes. On slide 11, we have an update on our financial debt. Our net debt to EBITDA is now under 4 times, which is where we had originally expected to be at the end of this year. Part of the reason for the 3.8 times is the payment cutoff date. We ended the quarter with a lot of cash and a lot of accounts payable, and then we paid suppliers in the beginning of October. Still, we should end the year with net debt to EBITDA under 4 times as planned. Our debt maturity profile hasn't changed significantly since we reported our second quarter results, except that in July we made a payment of the 2018 portion of the syndicated loan. So our next maturities are coming up in June of next year with another part of the syndicated loan and the Series P bond in September of next year. On slide number 12, we have an update on Plan CIMA, our strategic plan for 2017 to 2019. A key focus of this plan is improving the customer experience, and one of our most important initiatives is upgrading a group of our Unimark supermarkets. We initially identified 130 Unimark stores that we plan to upgrade over 5 years. Between 2017 and 2018, so far we've completed 29 upgrades, with 2 more being reinaugurated tomorrow, and 9 more scheduled to be completed in December, which means we're on track to reach our goal of 40 upgrades by year end 2018. Another highlight relating to customer experience is the marketing campaign we ran this past weekend, El Gran Cuponazo, where for the first time ever, we offered personalized discounts for each of the members of our Unimark loyalty program. This campaign was part of our ongoing efforts to better understand our customers in order to satisfy their needs. With respect to operating efficiency, our rate of centralized distribution for the first 9 months of the year is now 47%, so we continue to make progress there. And we also inaugurated a new dedicated distribution center for our Aldi format in September. This is part of our efforts to optimize our supply chain, continue to increase centralized distribution, and improve in-store product availability. That's it for our presentation. Thank you very much for listening. If there are any questions, Arturo will be happy to take them now.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To join the question queue, you may press star, then 1 on your telephone keypad. You'll hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing any keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then 2. Once again, to join the question queue, please press star, then 1. Our first question comes from Alonso Aramburu of BTG.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for the call. I have two questions. Arturo, I was wondering if you can comment on the sales weakness or deceleration at Unimarc. Same-store sales have been weaker the last couple of quarters. What's affecting growth there, and what are your expectations for the next couple of quarters? And my second question is regarding the centralization of distribution. Do you have a target for that, and should we continue to think that that should continue to drive gross margins higher in the short term? Thank you.
Hi, good morning. Alonso, the first question about the sales weakness in Unimarc especially, the same-store sale in the 9 months in Unimarc was 2.2%, and in the Q3 was 1.2%. Lower than our competitors, especially in the third quarter, because our promotional activity was lower in Q3, lower than our competitors, because the company took care the margin, the gross margin of the company. You see, the gross margin of the company was significantly better than our competitors. Because this strategy was a consequence that the company, meaning that the growth in the industry will be weak during the year, and independent of the more promotional activities, will be not possible improve the gross sales. And finally, the effect in the margin would be more important than sales. If you see, our competitors improved the sales, but the gross margin effect was more negative than improving the sales. For us, it was very, very important to take care of the gross margin, was the strategy. For the future, in Q4, we are in the same situation, similar growth than in the first 9 months, and probably in 2019, we are expecting better growth for the industry and also for us, because the food inflation in the last 2 months is higher than the previous month. We're expecting for 2019 food inflation higher than 3%, and the effect is very important in the nominal sales growth. But in 2018, where our expectation is very similar with the first 9 months. In the second question, the centralization, our current level of centralization is 47%. Our expectation to reach 65% in the end of 2021. In this year, in the first 9 months, the effect of the higher centralization affecting the gross margin was 10 basis points, no more than this. And we're expecting this 5 or 10 basis points per year in the level of gross margin or the participation in gross margin if we reach or we increase 2% per year to reach 60 or 65% in 2021. But this year, the impact was not so significant, no more than 10 basis points in the gross margin.
Great. Thank you, Arturo.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. This concludes the question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Ms. McKenzie for any closing remarks.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a great day, and we hope you'll join us next quarter. Bye-bye.
This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating, and have a pleasant day.